T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Gresh and Keith.
Do you find a measure of vindication?
Damn right. Damn right.
I had a great 20 great years there. You know, from my standpoint, I had a great time.
And it's been a blast.
I had a great 20 great years there.
Andy Gresh.
I mean, we're a football team. We're not called the Carolina Christian McCaffreys, you know?
I don't know who this man is.
Rich Keith.
He really did a good job of just being a playmaker.
My trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
I think obviously everyone knows about how well he throws the deep ball.
Big, he's strong, he's accurate, make every throw on the field.
Gresh and Keith.
I don't get sauce in my nuggets.
You are the sheep.
Yep. I made a recruit's mother gasp. I had such a big ice cream cone.
On WEEI.
Quite a metaphor to get into the final hour of Gresh and Keith. 104 is the time. We've got your D-Generation bets picks coming up. Lucy Burge has got your BetQL Patriots betting preview at the bottom of the hour as well. And speaking of week three, it did get underway last night, Keith, where the Carolina Panthers got a victory over the Houston Texans 24-9 in the final in what was a boring game.
It was, and they're not the Carolina Christian McCaffreys, and he's hurt and he's going to be out for a few weeks, as Ian Rapport, friend of the show, had tweeted out recently. So they're 3-0, but now they don't have their top guy, at least for a few weeks. The schedule's got to be getting tougher based on the three opponents that they had to start. But hey, they're 3-0. Sam Darnold's never been 3-0, and here he is lighting it up.
Full-blown resurgence for Sam Darnold?
I don't know. Like, I think there's obviously a great chance he's going to be better. They put up the graphic last night that over 3 years, I think he had the worst QB rating, worst completion percentage, worst record, like everything.
Coaching staff, organization,
yep. Oh, yeah.
Teammates.
Oh, definitely not all his fault, but his stats were so bad. So there was always the thought that could he be the Ryan Tannehill? Could he leave Adam Gase, yep, go somewhere else and kind of light it up? I don't think he's going to hit that level, but he's clearly in a situation to succeed. That is a decent defense. Like I know J.C. Horn got hurt, and that's not good. They actually, they're worried that he might have multiple broken bones in his foot. There was their top 10 pick that they drafted out of South Carolina. So they may, with these injuries, come back down to earth a little bit, but they've been a pleasant surprise to the beginning of the year.
So Carolina, their 2021 schedule, after their bye week in week 13, they play the Falcons, who are beatable, mm-hmm, but then they get the Bills, the Bucks, the Saints, and the Bucks. In the last 3 weeks of the year.
They need to build a huge lead and hope the Bucs have home field, and then they don't need the game.
That is exactly right. I'm completely with you on that. So that gets us into week three of the NFL season. And let's start with, well, one of our favorites, football team.
Yes.
Just funny to say football team, who are going to head to Buffalo, where all those flaming table power bombing drunken jackasses are going to be waiting for football team to go rolling in. And we start with Josh Allen.
Uh-huh.
As Josh Allen says, I haven't played up to snuff.
It's tough, you know, and I want it so bad that it's hard to tone down that aspect when I expect something out of myself and something I can do when I do regularly in practice, and I've shown it. And there's sometimes, you know, obviously there's a couple times in the games where I've missed, and, you know, maybe letting it affect me too much. So just trying to, you know, the best quarterbacks are the ones that can forget about the previous play and move on to the next. And guys make mistakes. Guys make miss throws. That's how we bounce back from it. That makes us who we are. And, you know, that's what we're looking forward to do. I'm excited to get out there on Sunday and, you know, get the ball to our guys.
Well, is that a load of crap, or is that a backslide here for Josh Allen?
I think this game is going to go far in, all right, what is he? Like, what is he for this season? Because, all right, slow start, you lose to the Steelers. Steelers defense is pretty good. There's a block punt in there. Not their best performance. You know, also didn't have a great performance. Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, like a whole bunch of guys didn't play well their first game. Second game, sort of a weird one because they blow out the Miami Dolphins, but Josh Allen wasn't particularly sharp. He was like 50% completion, and it was kind of an ugly game, even though they won 35-0. So let's see what this is. Washington has a pretty good defense, but the Bills are at home. They've had time to sort of catch their breath. Everybody picked them to win the division. And we're like, oh, this is Buffalo's year, Buffalo's year. And maybe those expectations kind of got them week one. How do they respond to this? Is it truly their division, or is it going to be up for grabs all year?
I love to razz the Bills, and I wasn't the biggest Josh Allen guy. I think he peaked last year. However, it's too early to think that it's a full-blown backslide for him just yet. Now, this defense, in terms of the football team in Washington, you're right. They're going to give him some fits and give him some trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And it might take Buffalo a couple more weeks to be able to climb out of kind of this bad start. Like, they're 1-1, but it doesn't feel like that game against Miami. You're right. It was a little odd. So this will be a really interesting test to see if Josh Allen can kind of pull the nose up on his season. At 4:25, the Miami Dolphins are going to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. And we do have to keep an eye on visitors heading to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Do they go out the night before?
I think they might.
Or do they have to have the handcuffs put on them so that they're ready to play at 4:25 against those Vegas Raiders who come in at 2-0? And Vegas corner Trayvon Mullen tells us all why these Raiders are for real.
I just feel like we got a group of guys that's playing with each other, love the game of football, want to win, have a sense of urgency. We got a lot of guys that are in the building, 5 o'clock, and we don't start practice at 7:30. It's just a different mindset around the whole building. With the defensive guys, you could just feel the different energy.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
And it's one of the big questions through 2 weeks is, are the Raiders good? They beat the Steelers. They beat the Ravens.
Are they?
I think they are. I think they are good. Now, they're not going to beat the Chiefs in that division. Like, I'm not going to go that far just because they're 2-0. But this is another one of those swing games. Like, look at who they have faced. It's all these teams that you'd probably figure are fighting for wild card spots. And if they beat all of them, counting Miami, on they're 3-0, but there's no win over the Jets, Jaguars, or Texans. It's three wins over teams that are, you know, playoff caliber type teams. You have to take them seriously. And maybe finally Derek Carr and John Gruden are on the same page, and their defense seems to be pretty good. They got some playmakers. I don't know. Hard not to like what they're doing right now.
Here is the upcoming schedule for the Raiders. They have the Dolphins on Sunday. Then they're at the Chargers. And then their next three, Bears, Broncos, Eagles heading into the bye. Could they be 6-1 going into the bye?
Yeah, there's a chance for sure. I mean, that Chargers game I think will be a great division kind of toss-up game. But those ones after that, I would say they're going to be favored. By the way, they're 3.5-point favorites against the Dolphins on Sunday at home. I'd take the Raiders.
Yeah, I would too, although I think that's going to be a hell of a battle.
And it's Jacoby Brissett again, right?
Yes, if there is a team that can screw it up, it is the Raiders.
Sure, but I'm not high on Miami. If I had to pick one team right now to have a better record, it'd be the Raiders.
I would
agree. End of season.
And look, I know that we're busting John's chops on his, look at the schedule for the Broncos. Might be the Raiders who get the benefit from having a pretty soft schedule. Of course, we're always interested in what Tom Brady is doing. And the Bucs head to L.A. to take on the Rams. And, you know, Keith, earlier this week on Monday night, one Robert Gronkowski joined Eli and Peyton Manning on their little Monday Night Football Manning cast. And he was like, I don't watch film. Well, two days later, Gronk walked that back.
You know, I actually watch tons of film, an overload of film. I was just, I would probably blame Nelson over there. He asked me 8 times to go on the show. I told him it's not a good idea to put me on the show with the Paytons, with the Mannings. You know, they always get me joking around. You know, they always get me in that type of silly atmosphere, and that's what happened. But, Coach threatened me now that I don't get my vet day anymore because I don't watch film. So, trust me, I watch so much film. that, you know, my girlfriend gets mad at me. She freaking throws shit at me sometimes because I'm watching so much film.
Omaha!
What are we doing? What is this? Just own, like, we, I think most people that know Gronk or covered Gronk enough know that he's not dumb. He just comes across as dumb. Just play that up. What's wrong with that? Say I don't watch film. You clearly are going up there making plays.
You know why? Because I think his coach actually took him seriously and threatened to take away his Veteran Day. Because, I mean, you know, with Bill Belichick, you'd never get a Veteran Day.
But you know what? Because I didn't believe him at all when he said it on Monday. Nobody,
I didn't either.
Nobody did. And you know what it reminded me of was there's that famous shot of Manny Ramirez in the dugout with the Red Sox looking at Curt Schilling's notes and like laughing at him and like fake reading it and like, you know, doing all this stuff. And you found out later on that you're like, actually, you know who does even more homework than anybody on the team is freaking Manny Ramirez.
Manny.
And so, but he wanted the, you know, aloofness to be out there. And that's what Gronk wanted. And then he completely walks it back. But all that aside, this is the best game of the weekend by far. Bucks and Rams.
Really?
I love both these. Yeah, these are the two. These might be the two best teams in football right now.
How about the LA Chargers at Kansas City? That's a big one, especially considering the Raiders are 2-0. If we assume they beat Miami, they're 3-0. So somebody is still going to be a game behind. Justin Herbert, LA quarterback, talk about playing in KC.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity. This is what you dream of playing against the, you know, they've won Super Bowl champions, and you know, it's a great opportunity for us to go out there to a hostile environment and play our football. And you know, they're an incredible team. They've got a good defense, a good offense, and so they're going to need everything we've got.
I mean, that's a good game, but I mean, the Rams and Bucks are true Super Bowl contenders. The Chargers are hoping to make the playoffs. And I think that maybe Mahomes Herbert could develop into a good rivalry. I don't think the Chargers are on that level, though, yet.
Kansas City is 1-2. Let's say they lose to the Chargers. That's a massive development in the AFC, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, they're 7-point favorites at home. I don't think they're going to lose to the Chargers.
Yeah, look, I'm not as big on the, just like with the Rams, I'm not as big on the Rams or the Chargers as others are. However, you do have to wonder about that Kansas City run defense. I think like the second most amount of rush yards allowed this year has been by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that would require the Chargers and Brandon Staley, their young head coach, to stay patient, run the ball on the Chiefs, and then let Herbert do his thing. But
it's also tough because early on, it's hard to take some of the overall stats because it's really based on you've had two games. Who have you played? So one of the Kansas City games was against Baltimore. You're not going to face another quarterback that's going to run for over 100 and have, you know, and his running backs run the ball. So they're, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the Chiefs defense is good, but it's, I don't think the Chargers aren't going to be able to run the ball as effectively as the Ravens just based strictly on personnel.
I just think the Chiefs defense sucks and it's really soft and everybody is going to be able to run on them. The difference is, can you stay in the game enough to not have to come out of running the ball?
Because
if your defense stinks and you're down 14-3, you're not going to be able to run the ball the way I think you can on that Kansas City defense.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see how that KC defense responds there as they welcome in the L.A. Chargers. Don't forget on Patriots Monday, we here with Gresh and Keefe will talk to James White and Lawrence Guy, normally in that first hour. That'll be on Patriots Monday. James White, Lawrence Guy. Make sure you make the appointment Monday where we will be talking Brady Week. How about the Tennessee Titans? They're going to host the Indianapolis Colts. And I did see there is a report out there that maybe, just maybe, Carson Wentz, who practiced, might be able to get back in the lineup. But it's more likely to be Brett Hundley.
Yeah, the Titans defense looking better and better.
And the Indy reporters were trying to get out of Brett Hundley. Hey, who are you practicing with this week? The ones or the twos? Are you practice squad guy? What's going on?
Man, you know, all rep situations, man, ask the coach. Oh, yeah. No, you're trying to wordplay that. That's nice. That was nice. Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. That was nice. That was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Future Patriots backup, Brett Hundley. He already passed the test.
Saying all the right things. But this is a pretty big game for the AFC South because one of these two teams is going to win that division. The Colts are off to an 0-2 start, and the Titans are 1-1, and they needed a last-second field goal to even get the one win that they had.
Mm-hmm.
They both play, well, this whole division, obviously, plays the NFC West. So there's a good chance all those teams either go 1-3 or 0-4 against them. So These games are going to be at a premium. Like 9-10 wins might win the division, and then the other team might be missing out on the wild card. So these head-to-head games are huge. And so if the Titans, it's either a banged up Carson Wentz or it's not Carson Wentz. So the Titans have to win this one.
Carson Wentz gets in there, he's going to get hurt again anyway.
Probably.
I mean, that's the only thing Probably. Consistent with that guy. I never thought we would be chronicling this AFC game because it does tie into the Patriots. That would be the 0-2 Jets are at the 2-0 Denver Broncos.
Look out.
Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, disaster last week against the Patriots. Talk this week about being boring.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily challenging. It's just being smart with the ball, and then understanding, sometimes, those situations in games like that, there wasn't check downs on some of those interceptions, right? It's not just, hey, check the ball down. It's, hey, be smart with the ball. You know, how can you throw it away or get rid of it? And, that's what I'm applying to this next week. I just, trying to learn and just get better.
This guy has
gonna be a long season.
No sense at the position whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
None. It's amazing.
Yeah, the Jets are going to be really, really bad. Broncos, meanwhile, John's team, probably going to get to 3-0. But
they are
similar to the Carolina Panthers. Like 3-0, good. All right, you're taking care of your business, but still against a real team, I don't love it. Is it the Jets that me and Shyam have our bet on? Is it Jets wins, I believe?
I think it was like 5.5, was it?
We got to find that. Whatever that number was.
That's true. Because
I am not looking good.
Because Shyam is all Team Mac or Zach Wilson.
That's right. I feel pretty good about that Jets pick. Because John wrote an article, didn't he, about don't sleep on the Jets, too?
No. I said don't sleep on like some of their players being fantasy relevant. We played up the headline for clicks. You didn't read it, so how do you know that?
I read the headline.
Yeah, exactly.
You read the headline.
You write the headline in a way that people
point.
Click on it.
Well, not only what people think on, it's what people, that's the big takeaway, and then they're going to hold that against you the rest of the year. So you said the Jets were going to be good.
I can assure
good.
You, I've read plenty of articles where the headline, not the main takeaway.
Well, too bad.
Eddie
read the
Hart
headline,
wrote something last
so
week.
So maybe consider
like.
The headline a little closer. But Shyam, didn't he basically say don't sleep on the Jets?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm fast asleep.
So, Broncos, they play the Jets.
Yeah.
Here are the next.
Grossly mischaracterizing it. Can I please just say that? Go ahead.
We're moving
sorry.
On. Here
are the next three for the Broncos.
For the Broncos after this one.
Ravens.
They will lose that one.
At the Steelers.
I don't like the Steelers, but they'll lose that one.
Hosting the Raiders.
They'll lose that one.
At Cleveland.
They'll lose that one.
Hosting Washington.
Ooh, game 50-50, but they'll lose. Let's say they'll lose.
At Dallas.
Ugh, that's not that hard.
Then hosting Philly into the bye. They
is
could
that
be.
Ravens game in Denver?
Ravens game is in Denver, yes.
Yeah, that's a win for the Broncos.
Yeah, Baltimore's
Broncos are
not
like
great
better
either.
Than all those teams that you just listed.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Stop it.
Don't act like you've been following the Broncos, Gresh.
I mean, honestly, their first loss might not come until the Raiders.
So from the guy that told me the Jets were sneaky good, I'm
that's
really,
not what I said.
Really,
I didn't say that,
you
Rich.
Said you're sleeping
nope,
on the Jets.
Didn't
so
say that.
So I'm good with the Broncos.
They're going to get off to a good look.
They'll win on
Sunday.
Here's
the thing. If they beat the Ravens next week and Ben actually has a pec issue and he's out, that's a win over the Steelers, too. And then they're 5-0.
Look.
I mean, they could definitely beat the Steelers.
It has been, John has told the story of soiling himself in the park on a date.
Right.
John has told us about the sitting in the shower with the cries.
Yeah.
He has cut his hair to
what
where
is this?
He's
why
got,
is this coming up?
Can you just.
He's
how does
not
this impact
done.
How I break
can
down the game?
Can you just let me finish?
No, I think it has a lot to do with it.
You cut your hair. Now you look like Milhouse Jr.
I look fine.
You got Van a Houten. Lot. You've had a lot going against you. So for right now. Because the Broncos are going to get off to a 3-0 start. We need to humor you.
Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Because eventually you're going to be dead wrong on this, and then we'll be piling on. So we at least need to take the foot off of the ripping John accelerator because we know we're going to be able to hammer it down in about 6 weeks.
Even if I'm right about this, the thing is Rich is just always going to point to something I didn't say and as to discredit the rest of it. So I've accepted that at this point.
I mean, don't know it's just what it is. Maybe change the headline then. You have some sway there, wouldn't
you?
Because apparently this all started before I got here. What is the underlying nature of the beef between you two?
I don't have any beef.
Oh, Rich doesn't like me. That's all it is.
I don't have any beef.
Because John has said that before on the air.
They call
like,
me.
Rich
no,
doesn't like me. But nope. I think you're.
I always looked at it. It's like a big brother, little brother sort of situation.
Don't have a little brother. Don't want a little brother. That's got nothing to do with that. They call me Rich No Beef Keefe.
Do they? I thought you held a grudge better than literally anybody on the planet.
You said it. That's right.
No, that is true. No, but I'm not mad at him for anything. Oh, okay. I do subscribe to the you should hold grudges. Hold them for dear life until you're dead. Otherwise, you never should have gotten mad. Otherwise,
gotcha.
It was a wasted feeling to get mad. Hold on to that. Remember that. Make a list. Do get out the old apps note or whatever. I don't care.
Write
what
you're,
an or
app
note
stick. Cross it off.
Doesn't matter to me. But I have no problem with him.
Okay, no, because...
I mean, I'm just pointing out his Jets take.
No, because...
wasn't my Jets take, though.
Well, that's the thing. And here we go with the back and forth again. I'm just... that we pick on John a lot, so this is his chance to crow about the Broncos. But
that's
you
not
and
the
I,
only thing I've ever got. They crushed me in 2019 for saying the Bills would make the playoffs.
I wasn't here. I don't know these things.
But they did.
But Keith, don't you know we're going to be right on this with the Broncos? And
I just pulled up the article.
Oh, here we go.
And it claims that there's an impassioned case by John Anderson as to why you shouldn't sleep on the Jets. Maybe not win the division, but to make some noise offensively and in the AFC wildcard race. So
and
enough of
what
your
happened,
dumb defense
what,
yeah,
on everything.
That's
well,
bad.
No,
that is,
no,
that is
that's,
pretty bad.
That's
and
accurate.
That's even inside the article.
Keith's right.
Right, but then
to
what happened? What happened after the article
that they
was posted?
Might not win the division. Oh, really, John? The Jets might not win the division?
Well, yeah, you have to dumb it down
but
for people like
sleep.
You who are going to assume that I'm saying something that I'm not.
Just say the Jets suck. You can dumb it down. We can all understand that. Jets suck. But you're trying to talk up the Jets. And now that they suck, you're like,
I was trying to talk them over four and a half wins.
I used all these different words. And rah, 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 rah. You said AFC wildcard race. There's no race at five wins. Don't sleep on them. How about some offensive noise? Offensive noise? The one idiot's throwing four picks? Don't sleep on them, though. I never said that. I wrote it. Okay, same crap. And by the way, there's a podcast clicking here. We could probably find the actual audio.
Because
it
was a Winners Club post. But what happened that day? Do you remember what happened that day? Carl Lawson tore his Achilles the same day.
The whole season. So their offense, their offensive noisemaking relies on Carl Lawson.
Who's a defensive player, by the way.
I'm going back to the overall premise of the team winning some games.
If they had Carl Lawson, Zach Wilson might have been Rookie of the Year. But freaking Carl Lawson goes down. The whole thing. Light the article on fire. Get out of here. It even says in the stupid article, an impassioned case by me as to why you shouldn't sleep on the Jets. I'm asleep. I'm fast asleep. I've been taking sleeping pills on the Jets for years, and I will continue to do so as they go to 0-3 this weekend with no sign of life.
Okay, there's 18 games. By like week 9, their rookie could actually do some stuff.
There's not 18 games.
Was there
games.
17? 18 weeks, sorry.
I'm going to dumb it down for you. There's 17 games. Jets in the AFC Wildcard. Hey, they maybe not the division, guys. They maybe don't get.
Well,
the
if I don't say that, then people are going to be like, oh, he thinks the Jets are going to win the AFC
you
East.
You said the Jets are going to be in the wild card race.
Said they could be in the wild card race.
The 401 John Boom roasted. By the way, Cincinnati's at Pittsburgh.
Another game.
Week 3. That's it.
Go Bungles.
Oh, boy. We'll get to our degeneration
bets.
Yeah,
I got Rich to read one of my articles.
And
I scrolled to the part where it said Jets.
It's been years of this. Years of this, Crush.
So now you get that click retroactive to the when did you write this?
Oh, man.
August. It looks like it doesn't
have
it. August 19th.
I almost piddled a little bit. I was laughing so hard. That was fantastic. Oh, my God. Here's Shime, who's ready to...
Like the show?
Of course you do.
And not that other way, freaks.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
At 1:33, we're teeing you up for some degeneration bets. We'll help you make some money. You'll hear how we've done the last 2 weeks and give you some week 3 picks. But first, here's our friend Lucy from BetQL with your Patriots betting preview.
The New England Patriots and New Orleans Saints will meet up on Sunday at 1 p.m. at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Here is the betting info you need for this one, brought to you by BetQL. The Patriots are 3-point favorites with the over-under set at 42.5 points. 77% of the sharp money is on the Patriots' money line. Jonnu Smith, under 3.5 receptions at -140, is a prop bet to consider here. Other things to consider. Bill Belichick is 79-18 off a road win while coaching in New England. Belichick is also 70-23 in all games where the total is between 35.5 and 42 points while coaching in New England. Another thing to keep in mind, Bishop Thickamore is going up against Rich Keefe in the Gresh and Keefe Fantasy Showdown. So best of luck to Rich.
Thank you very much,
wow.
Lucy.
Yes. Shot across the bow there. Good luck to you.
I had a real tough loss last week to listener Mike because he had Derrick Henry score a third of his points, and I lost by 1 point. But anyway, so I'm 1-1. Okay, so I need this one against Bishop Thickamore and Lucy.
I think everybody here is 1-1.
All 1-1. What a log jam.
I lost McCaffrey last night.
There's only two 2-0 teams left. It's Andy Hart and Ryan Davey.
Okay. It's a couple of guys to go after there. A couple of guys to target.
I do believe someone who does work on this show said that Davey had an average draft, if I remember correctly.
In total points for, he's beating me by like 4 points.
He already beat him head-to-head. He already beat him head-to-head. Andy's 2-0.
Look at Shine.
He beat me head-to-head by like 5.
You played a snap of football in your life.
In week 2, my team had more points than his.
Right. Shime, just like Mac Jones, moving the goalposts.
Yep. I'm not moving any goalposts.
Oh, yeah, no, it's about the wins and losses, but Shime could be like 2-10 in the league, but I had the most points overall, therefore validating my
drive. It's all about matchups. It's all about matchups, scouting reports, how you beat that team in front of you. My Patriots, though, it looks like it's supposed to be one of the lowest scoring games on the slate, that 42.5. I think I'm still going to take the under, though, despite that being such a low number. The only lower number is Jets-Broncos on the entire board. But I like this Patriots defense against the Saints. I don't think the Saints score many points.
Shime, do you have records so far for degeneration bets?
I do not.
Oh, great. So nobody's keeping track of these bets. That's awesome.
No, NFL Sunday, we locked those bets.
Well, I know
we
that.
We have those.
But I thought so.
I wasn't instructed to make a list of all these.
This is the first time hearing
of
this.
So we have no idea. Like, I went 3-0 last week, I do believe.
Well, there you go. So now you can tell people you went 3-0.
All right, well, then I don't know what anybody else did.
The show's undefeated. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, there we go. Fine.
It's just your best bets.
Exactly.
What do you have?
So we're doing Patriots on this?
Go
yes,
ahead.
No?
Yeah,
I mean, you got to go Patriots minus. They're going to cover.
I think so, too. I think they definitely cover. I think they could win this game by 10 points. Like I'm not that high on the New Orleans Saints, and
for TV, I picked 27-17 Patriots win.
All right, I'll say
that would actually go over the number, which is at 42.
I'll go 24-13.
Okay,
so the Patriots and the under is what I like. Scrim,
yeah, I'm going Saints and the under there.
John,
I like the under. I like 21-20 as the final score. So Saints cover, but Patriots win in the under.
Wow, right. That is something.
All right.
All right.
Run the needle there.
I got two that I really like for degeneration bets this week. One of them, Ravens-Lions. The Ravens defense has not been that good so far. They've given up some points. We know that the Ravens, where they can run the ball and all that. It's an over-under of 50 right now in that game. I think Ravens-Lions go over the 50.
Okay.
There's going to be some points in that game. And then I'm on the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 3 against the Bengals. I know the Steelers aren't good. I just don't think the Bengals are very good.
No, they're really not.
And they're going on the road. So give me the Steelers minus 3 and over 50 for the Ravens-Lions. Keith, what do you got?
We talked about it a little bit in the last segment, but I think I might be buying in on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Woo.
And if not that, I definitely do not like the Miami Dolphins. And they're going on the road. Just a 3.5 point. Obviously, you'd love it at 3, but 3.5. I know it could be what kills them. But the Raiders have already beaten two decent teams. I think it was the Ravens by 6 and the Steelers by 11 or whatever it was. So give me the Raiders at home to cover that number against the Dolphins.
By the way, according to the BetQL public betting tracker, 93% of the money is on the Raiders. Not good for you.
It's the most bet handle of the week. I'm actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't
Let me switch it.
Keith, no, I'm with you here. All
right.
I took the Raiders yesterday on the Winners Club podcast, and at the time it was -4.5. So I like them even better at 3.5.
Okay,
I'm all over the Raiders here at -3.5. Gresh, I'm actually going to go head-to-head with you here. I'm going to take the Bengals' money line. I think they win this game outright.
Wow.
I think there's a chance that Big Ben doesn't even play. T.J. Watt also banged up.
Right.
Normally that defense is very, very good, but I think the loss of T.J. Watt could be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati may be without T. Higgins, but I think Ja'Marr Chase might have a massive, massive game there.
All right.
Very good. Very well could. Very well could. John, you got one?
Yeah, let's stick out. Let's go back to the AFC West. Gresh, can you guess what team in the NFL is last in pass rush win rate and run stop win rate?
I mean, they are last in both categories. What are we doing? War and OPS here?
You like this stat, John.
That's okay. A very basic stat. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They are dead last, and it's not even close. They're like a few percentage points behind the number 31 team, which I think is the Vikings for both as well.
Defense.
But so the Chargers are a 6.5-point dog going into Kansas City. Aside from the playoff game against Buffalo, Kansas City has not covered a home spread since last year early in the season against the Jets.
Ooh, that's a good
give me the Chargers in this one. 6.5-point dogs going in to Kansas City. And by the way, you can get Jared Cook 3.5 receptions at plus 110 on DraftKings right now. 8 targets in week 1, 5 in week 2. High scoring game. Take Jared Cook. Don't single game parlay it like I do. Rich.
No, just separate those bad boys. I'll tell you, with the Colts quarterback situation and the start that they've gotten off to, give me the Titans. I know it's a lot of points, minus 5.5, but they're at home. They did get their first win last week. They went out to Seattle to do it.
Yep.
I think that maybe they've woken up a little bit. Julio Jones looks like he's more of a factor in the offense week 2 than he was in week 1. Plus, you have Derrick Henry. And if it's Brett freaking Hundley, I think you're going to cover by even more. And even if they go with Carson Wentz, give me the Titans to win and to cover.
Very good. All right. Scrim, you got one more?
Yeah, I got 2 props for you guys. I got my James White prop. We're back at it. Over 14.5 rush yards.
Love
book it.
Love
easiest
it.
Easiest money you'll make all week. I'm gonna take a little bit of a risk here. I'm gonna go over 54.5 rush yards for Justin Fields in his first start against the Browns.
I
think he's gonna get aggressive. That's an even money bet too there. So I love that. I'm gonna go over 54.5 rush yards.
That's right, Justin Fields first start. Love it.
Johnny, got one more?
And yeah, I'm on the Rams money line this weekend as well. So the Buccaneers are the second most penalized team in the NFL. The Rams are the second least penalized team in the NFL.
That's
2 best teams in the league. You're going to win on the margins. AB might not play. And I think that defensive backfield can shut down Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And, you know, it's Rams plus 1.5. Just take money line at that point. That's so close.
You know, it's well documented. I hate John, but I'm with him on that pick. Give me the Rams.
You take the points. If you like an underdog on the money line, take the points. Because at plus 1.5, it's not going to be weighted so much to make the money line worth your while.
Yeah, but this is like a D on the table moment for the show.
Money
line.
I would take the Rams as well, because I think not only are they a really, really good team and they're at home, I think Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski can't help but think about next week. Tom Brady's already had all of his closest people talk about next week. Even asked about next week. So if they were playing some other team, you'd say, all right, maybe they could even play down, be a little bit distracted and win. But I'll take the Rams, getting the biggest win of the year so far.
By the way, I haven't given a college pick in a while, so this is on top of our normal round of degeneration bets that we've just done. Tennessee plus 19, even though they're in the swamp at Florida, they're good enough to be able to score. It is a lot of points. And I know Tennessee has had a very bad run here as of late in the SEC, but give me Tennessee plus 19 for a little extra. And there you go. There is your degeneration bets for week 3 of the NFL season, with a little kiss sweetener in there for some college football love. You got something. Brings it home next.
Wherever you're working from,
Gresh and Keefe go where you do.
I might have a hard time getting up.
Download the Odyssey app.
Or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
It's been a busy week here on Gresh and Keefe, and now it's time to wrap it up. It is time for You Got Something, sponsored by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, don't lose football takeout orders or reservations due to customers getting busy signals or being stuck on hold. Get the solution at unifiedoffice.com. Keith, you got something?
I do have something. So ESPN finally revealed their full top 100 NBA players for the upcoming season.
These lists are vitally important.
You've got to have these lists. We've known most of it for a while. They finally went through and gave you the top 5. But real quick, for if you've missed it, Jason Tatum was at 14, Jaylen Brown 27, and Marcus Smart 49. Yeah,
the
on there.
Celtics have 3 top 50 players.
They have 3 top 50 players.
Good year, baby.
But it's funny seeing some of the other guys that made the top 100 at certain levels include Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, like so some other former Celtics are on there. Top 5. Here's your top 5 for the upcoming season. Number 5, Steph Curry.
Number 4, Luka Doncic. Number 3, LeBron James. Number 2, Giannis. Number 1, Kevin Durant.
Be hell of a starting five.
Sure, any minute from now, LeBron James is going to cry about how he's so disrespected, falling down all the way to number 3. But
got to find a way to motivate yourself.
I don't disagree too much with that list. I might bump Luka even ahead of LeBron, but whatever. That's not a bad top five. That seems about right.
You and I are very bullish on the Celtics.
Yeah.
I think privately behind the scenes there might be some people making fun of us because we like the Celtics so much. But we'll have to address that at a later date.
That could be. High on the Celtics. Sean, you got something?
Yeah, so there's a guy over at PFF. He's one of their interns. Tej Seth made a composite score for all of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
What does that mean?
So basically, they have stats called accuracy rate over expected, EPA per play, and then just the raw PFF grade that they give to all the players.
Okay. Combined it all,
combined all three, and made a composite score, which then ranks the quarterbacks.
Got it.
So right now, their number one quarterback is Jalen Hurts. Number two, our guy for our perfect fantasy lineup, brought to you by Miller Lite, Kirk Cousins.
Love it. This is obviously a great formula.
So shout out to Mutt and all the other haters that were giving us crap for Kirk Cousins in the lineup this week.
He's hot right now.
Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown a pick yet this year. No. 5 touchdowns, over 600 yards. Like, Kirk looks good.
Feels like I might be a little weighted.
Here it comes.
I'm excited. And then Tom Brady, of course, would be number 3.
All right.
John, you got something?
Yeah, so Bruins play the Capitals this Sunday at 5 p.m. in their first preseason game. And day 2 on the ice today. Yesterday, Brad Marchand talked about how hard it is for some of the prospects to break into the lineup because of how many veterans they brought in the offseason. But Charlie Coyle's out with a bum knee, and Jack Studnicka has found himself in a Mac Jones with Cam on the COVID list situation right now, because not only the last 2 days has he centered the line of Taylor Hall and Craig Smith at practice, but Coyle's out for a while, so he's going to be able to play in that game on Sunday. I doubt Taylor Hall will play in that, but he might be able to pop to the degree where, hey, like, you know, give him the shot at the second center.
This is what they need. They 100% need this to happen. Leave Coyle on the third line, because if you can get a good other play, because I'm not going to rely on Coyle all year. I think we're going to be screaming about that. You're going to be asking for a trade at the deadline and try to, because you need to maximize Taylor Hall, and hopefully Studnicka can do it. And if he has a good season, you're talking about a really high ceiling for the Bruins.
There's no question. And Studnicka put in the work in the offseason, added 15 pounds.
Oh, the guy's just an Adonis. I mean,
but you love that, though, because to me, that's like we waited for David Pastrnak to put on 15 pounds from the first time we saw him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Studnicka smells opportunity. It's there. And you're right. I think in the long run, if Coyle's the third line center, and because somebody played better, that's better for this team.
Yeah, much better.
Gresh, what do you got?
UFC 266 this weekend.
Here we go.
This is a very, very good pay-per-view card. The flyweights, Jessica Andrade against Cynthia Calvillo. They both like to throw haymakers. Good stuff. Then the heavyweights, Curtis Blaydes against Jairo Rosenstrike. These are both dudes that are like 6'3", 6'4", that are pushing the max weight at 265. Again, bomb throwers. It's going to be awesome. Then in the middle, the rematch of the middleweights, going all the way back to when Keith was watching UFC.
I was just
going
to say, this is flashbacks to when I never missed a fight. Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler.
Now,
My God.
Nick Diaz came out and was like, yeah, I didn't really want to fight. I don't want to do this.
That's weird. That's kind of...
Well, he's, you
there's
know.
I know there's a lot going on with both Diazes, but that's kind of scary. Like, that's like one of those... Something awful is going to happen, and someone's going to be like, yeah, remember those comments he said back in September? Like, that, like, I'm not making a joke. Like, that is some scary stuff that he was saying.
This is a novelty fight going back for years. This really tickles not so much the new UFC fan, but the older UFC fan.
This was a real rivalry.
Yes.
A lot of guys fight and then have respect for each other. Like, these guys, this was a blood feud.
This was the, hey, I'm going to give you enough money that you can't turn it down kind of fight, I think, for both these guys. Then the women flyweight championship, maybe the most dominant MMA fighter on the planet, and that does include Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko against Lauren Murphy, who is a friend of that whole Houston crew down there, Derek Lewis.
Okay.
You know, my balls are hot.
Yeah, no, I know Derek Lewis.
And by the way, the best Instagram going today is Derek Lewis's Instagram, The Beast. I mean,
yeah, no, he's funny.
You'll cry.
He's very funny.
And then for the featherweight title, Alexander Volkanovski against Brian Ortega. This fight got canceled. They were both coaches on The Ultimate Fighter this year, so the bad blood is building. This will be a hell of a pay-per-view this weekend if you are into the combat sports. That is it for us. You will join us on NFL Sunday. Wiggy, Fourier, myself, Keith, Scheim, Tommy Curran, Andy Hart. We're going to be on it from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The best pregame show in town, getting you ready for Patriots football as the Saints roll in on Sunday. We will see you then. John and Scheim produced it. If something went wrong, blame them. Marloni and Fourier are next.
Friday night, I'm thinking that we just might fly away to someplace they don't know who we are.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.